Amen. Trust that's each of our prayer, that we stay faithful. The Lord finds us faithful and will stay faithful to the end. Don't just start strong, but finish strong. Finish faithful in our lives. Turn to me, Malachi chapter 3 this morning. Malachi chapter 3. I want to look at the thought this morning of serving with integrity. Serving with integrity. Now, integrity is something that is lacking in the world around us. Many people do not have integrity today. What is integrity? Integrity is the idea of being honest, of honesty, of dealing with things in the right way and serving that way with integrity, serving that area with honesty in our lives. We're to be true in and inside and outside. It is supposed to be something that you can be trusted. Your word means something. If you have integrity, if you have honesty, that means your word means something. In the old days, and we've used this before, if someone made an agreement with someone, they could do that on a handshake. They could deal with those things that way. And because that person's word meant something. They knew that person had integrity and was going to keep their word, was going to keep what they promised, was going to keep what they said, was not going to lie to you, was not going to come back on you. This is the whole idea of this idea of integrity and serving with truthfulness or honesty. Now, in the book of Malachi, where we pick up, these individuals had an issue was serving God with integrity, with honesty. Now, Malachi chapter 3, we're going to pick up in verse 7 in a moment, has to do with, most time you hear Malachi 3, it goes right to our mind of giving. And yes, we are going to deal with giving. But there is more in Malachi chapter 3 than regards to just giving. And we also know Malachi chapter 3 was dealing with the here and now, but it was also going to start dealing and showing what is to come and what is going to happen. And so there's a lot entailed there of the main interpretation of what is taking place. The here and now, what is going to happen down the road, has to do with many areas, giving and some other areas as well, and it has to do with this idea of serving. As we get into this, and we're going to hit some areas that this is talking about, each area is an area of service. It's an area of worship. You see, when we come to church, we come to worship God. What he was dealing with these individuals had to do with their service or their worship. The problem is they were not worshiping God the way God wanted them to worship him. They weren't serving God the way God has call them to serve him. And as we come to church, we worship God or we serve God in various areas. One of the areas that we worship God, we serve God, and we're going to just give an intro here and then get into this message, is that of singing. Singing is a form of worship. It's a form of serving. It's a form of coming before God. That's why singing is very important. Yes, it prepares the heart. Yes, it gets us ready for the message. Yes, it does all those things, but it's an avenue of service because as we're singing those hymns, and that's why I am very staunch on singing those old hymns, because those old hymns, if you read those words, you sing those words, what are they doing? They are worshiping God. They are praising God. They are thanking God for all that he's done for us. The focus is not on us in those hymns. The focus is on God. And the purpose of those hymns and the purpose as we sing is to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we worship God both in spirit and truth, even in our singing. We serve God and we worship God, even in our giving. And we're going to hit this a little more as we get in this. We worship God and we serve God, even in our fellowship. We worship God and we serve God, even in doing things around the church. These are all areas of worship and service. If If you're able to, please stand with me. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7 through verse 18. Even from the day of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But he said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for this time we can open your word. Lord, we ask that you would just illuminate your scriptures to us this morning. Lord, help us to seek the truth you want us to glean. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, change our lives, help us to be what you would have us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Look again with me in verse 7. I want us, as we look at serving with integrity, I want us to see this morning the call that was given. Look with me in verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances, have not kept them. Return unto me. We see the call given here is for these individuals to return to the Lord. This is the call given. They said, since your fathers, you have gone astray. Since the beginning, since way back, not just your nation, not just your generation, but the generations before you have gone astray. And there's a call to return. And here's the idea we need to get this morning. We're going to move on to this verse, and there's so much in this, but I want us to get the idea this morning. There is a call for you and for me. There is a call for this nation. There is a call for believers today to return back to the Lord. It's not just this generation, but it was the generation before us and the generation before them. Many have gone astray. There is a call this morning to return back to the Lord. That's the call that is given. That is the call that we need to heed to. That is a call that we need to take, you and I need to take to our lives and examine our hearts, examine ourselves. There's a call given. What has happened is generation from generation to generation has forsaken God, has turned against God, and because of that, we are in the shape that we're in this morning. The reason is what has happened is not just in our nation, not just in the world, but among believers today, we have generation after generation that needs to return back to the Lord, to get back on fire for God once again, to have a renewed passion once again for the things of God. There's a return. There's the call that's given. This is the return to return back. But what is sad in this verse? And it's sad in this portion of scripture There's over 9 times when they were confronted that they gave excuses and said, we don't know what you're talking about. Now God says you need to return. But as they said in return, look at their response and on the call. The call was given to return, but what do they say? He says, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? The call was given to return. They said, what are you talking about? Why do we need a return? We're fine. We're doing your work, Lord. We're your children. We're your nation. We are these individuals, and we have our altar, Lord, and we do our sacrifices, and we do our rituals, and we have our church services, and we take care of this, and we're doing everything. We even do the sacrificial lamb once a year, and we do this, and we do that. We're going through all these things, Lord. We are okay. What are you talking about? We need a return. Oh, what was wrong with my father? What was wrong with the generation before? Oh, they were better than even us, and they were serving God. What's the problem? The issue is this. Many believers during that time, but many believers today, God gives a call to return. And we sit back and say, why do we need a return? I'm okay, God. You know what? I'm better than so-and-so. I'm in church more than someone else. See, it's not about rituals. Rituals have been substituted in our day and age for reality. We go through the rituals. We go through motions. We go through certain things and we say we're okay. And we substitute that for reality. See, we're not serving God with integrity, with honesty. We're serving in a way that we think we're okay. We think we have done something for God. Let me tell you, God's done everything for us. There is nothing we can truly do for God. God does not need us. And here's what has taken place, and here's what is happening. We think just because we show up in a church service, we've done God a favor. We put some money in an offering plate, and we've done God a favor. We clean a toilet in the church, and we've done God a favor. We teach a Sunday school class, and we've done God a favor. We take the gospel and share the gospel with someone, and we've done God a favor. We're not serving with integrity, with honesty. And the problem that was taking place is these individuals didn't even see their issue. Didn't even see the problem. And if they saw it, they wanted to pretend it wasn't there. We do that so often. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we see it and then we've tried to pretend it's not there. You ever had an issue? You ever have a problem? And you thought if you just tried to pretend it wasn't there, it would go away? Anyone ever try to deal with a problem that way? You had a problem maybe with a person, you had a problem with your boss, you had a problem somewhere else, and you just pretend it would just go away and it never went away? Any of you ever had a medical problem that you pretended wasn't there? And then finally, after you got treatment, it was a whole lot worse than if you would have dealt with it. Some of you do that with your teeth more than anything. You hate the dentist. The dentist is your enemy. You think he's terrible. He thinks he's ready to kill you. And so you get a cavity in your mouth. And you know you have a cavity because it starts to hurt you. But you pretend it's not there. And you get stuff that gives you temporary relief and you try to numb it. And you put and then you don't numb the tooth, you end up numbing your tongue and you can't talk. And you try to do all that. And you try to pretend. And you go sometime. And you try to coast through. And sometimes you even get through it and you really don't have that pain anymore. And then that pain comes back. And as you go through, then finally you get to the point, you finally go in because you can't do anything else. It's killing you. And now you got to have a root canal because you didn't deal with the little cavity that would have took less than 20 minutes to drill out, fill in, and you could have moved on your way. That is what we do spiritually speaking. Now, some of you are laughing because you've been there and done that. Spiritually speaking, they were pretending and they were saying, God, What are you talking about? We're okay. And the reality wasn't. The call was given. Our nation has lived in a way without integrity, with honesty. Many people have said that, well, America's okay. What is happening is okay. But it's not. Many believers have said, our churches are just fine the way they are. Believers are fine this day and age to do however they want to please, live any way they want to live. What are you talking about that we got to go back to the old past, as the book of Jeremiah tells? What does it mean that we have to live the way that the Word of God says? Hey, we're okay. This is the new era. This is new Christianity. We can live any way we want to live. We can do anything we want to do because we're saved and no one can take our salvation away. So that gives us an excuse to live any way we want to live. Wait a second. The problem is we don't see where we're at. And we're not serving God or worshiping God with integrity or honesty. And the bottom line is, if we're not worshiping God or serving God with integrity, we're not truly worshiping God or serving God. The call was to return. But I want you to see what God accuses them of. Not only do we see the call, but look at the accusation that's given here. We see the call, but let's look at the accusation given here. Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet he have robbed me. But he say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Drop down to verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. I want us to see what God was accusing them. First, God says, here's the problem. You need to return. The call is given. And they said, okay, where have we done this, Lord? We haven't done anything. And now the Lord says, okay, you want to know? I'm going to show you. I'm going to point it out to you. And I believe that is important in our lives. That God shows us where we have fallen him. That's why I believe we need to be in church. We need to be in his word. We need to be challenged from the word of God. We need to ask God to examine us and God to show us. But these individuals said, God, we've done nothing against you. God says, you really believe that? You really believe that? Let me show you what you've done. The first thing he accused them of is robbing him. He says, ye have robbed me. What does that mean? You have taken something from God. You have not given God. You have not done what you're supposed to be doing. Now, if you had time, we had time, we could study out. There's four different types of tithes that were given in the Old Testament through sacrifices, through other things of land and different things they did. And there's one that was done once a year. There's some that was done on a regular basis. And there's the different types of tithing that was given here in the Old Testament. Now, what we are familiar with is that which is given the first of the week of the storehouse, that's taken the first of the fruits, the 10% that is taken, that is given. Now, what they were doing, they were robbing God from giving to God what they were supposed to give God. That is the most important part that we're going to look at. They were robbing God from what they were supposed to give to God. As you and I look in our lives this morning, I want us to understand, it is not about putting something in an offering plate. It has to do with the heart. It's not that they weren't giving. You study, they were giving. They did certain things, but they didn't do with honesty or integrity. They did just the bare minimal, what they had to do. And some of them were holding back what they were supposed to be giving God totally. Some gave a little bit, some gave none. They did not give God everything they were supposed to give. God has a prescription of what God expected of them and what God wanted them to do. God wanted them to give. Now, as we study out this whole idea of the tithe and of giving, we could go to the New Testament. We don't have time to go there. But the New Testament backs up the Old Testament in regards to giving. Okay? There are some that have different views, and we're not going to argue on this. But you cannot get around that every believer that is following after God is supposed to be giving unto the Lord. Because everything you have is God's. And God is giving that to you as a steward. And you are to be a wise steward of what God has given. And as a wise steward of what God has given you, you are to give back to God. Now, there is given the 10% throughout Scripture. That's not just Old Testament. That's talked about in the New Testament as well. It was not just the law, because it was even given after the law. But 10% is not something that you have to fight over or that. Because the idea, if you just gave 10%, and you just gave it because I have to give 10%, is no different than those that are not giving. Because it is not about a number. Now, it gives us what we're supposed to give. Yes, it gives us an idea when we're supposed to give it. But the idea is this. You can give the 10% and still not be giving with integrity, with honesty, in the way that God would have you give. You could give above the 10% and still not be giving with honesty or with integrity. You could give 90% of your income and still not be giving with honesty or integrity. The problem is how they were giving. And they were robbing God. Because the New Testament says, as we give, we're to give with a cheerful heart unto the Lord. It is not that I'm saying I have to give. It's, Lord, because you've done everything for me and given me so much, Lord, this is the least I can do, is give you just a little bit back to you. See, it has to do with our heart. And they were robbing God, but they were robbing themselves from the blessings. See, they blame God and said, God, you haven't blessed us. You haven't opened the window of heaven. You haven't done those things to us. And God says, no, the problem is not with me. The problem is with you. The problem is your heart's not what it ought to be. And this whole idea of giving has this idea of our heart. And I understand we're to give of the first fruits. And I understand for most of us that deals with finances. But let me tell you, giving with integrity does not just have to do with finances. That has to do with our lives. And we're going to look at this in the next couple verses here. It's going to show us. But he's dealing here with the finances, the first fruits. But he's also going to deal with other areas of service that they're supposed to be giving with integrity or with honesty. Many individuals have a wrong view of the tithe. They think that God needs their tithe. God doesn't need your money. Then why do we have to give the tithe? One, it's God's. So if you don't give it to God, you're robbing. But number two is this. If you are not tithing, you are not giving unto the Lord, then your heart can't be right with the Lord. God doesn't need your money. God wants your heart. But you know what's awesome? If God has your heart, God has your pocketbook. God has your heart, he has your service. God has your heart, he has everything about you. I tell you, some people will say this, say, well, you know what? That's between me and God. Yes, it is between you and God. But God knows if you're giving or not giving. God knows if you're giving or not giving. God knows if you're doing that or not. And I tell you, sometimes man finds out if you give or not give. But I wouldn't be concerned if man finds out if I give or not give. I don't care what man thinks. But I tell you, my God said to this nation, to these individuals, you have robbed me. I tell you, that's a lot bigger than someone coming to say, hey, you haven't given lately. You haven't tithed lately. I don't care what man says, but I tell you, when God points the finger at me and God says, you have robbed me, that better wake you up. This nation says, where have we done this, Lord? We haven't done this. We're serving you. We're living for you. We haven't gone against you. We haven't gone astray. And God says, yes, you have, because you haven't given me what is mine. And I tell you, we are living in a day and age where many believers have not given God what is God's. And I tell you, I'm careful what I'm saying, and especially being on live stream, because a lot of people say all church is about money. Church is not about money. This church will continue if you give or not give, because God is the one that sustains this church. We've seen it. Brother Dick's been here for 40-some years. Brother Dick has known there's times that the doors of this church was ready to close. I was just reading through some of the old church minutes that Mrs. Conant used to take and her penmanship, and just reading through some of those old minutes and looking through. There was several times, and Dick, correct me if I'm wrong, but there were several times that the church voted and was at a point that they were going to close the doors, and then God provided, God took care of. See, it's not money that keeps this church going. God takes care of this. You know why a church closes the doors? It's not because people aren't giving. It's because the heart of the people are not what it ought to be. And what has taken place and what has happened is there's churches across America that have closed the doors. And yes, it's finances, and we can put it finances. But it's a bigger issue. The bigger issue is the heart of the people. Because when the heart of the people realize they need to return back to God, realize they have robbed God, realize they haven't served God with integrity and honesty, that's when the blessings of God comes back upon the life of that church and the life of the individuals. Is when God's people are right with God and their heart is aligned with Him, and then the blessings of God, the windows of heaven, open back up. They were accused. But look at verse 13. What else were they accused of? Not just robbing God, not giving God what God. Let me challenge you. If you're not faithful and you're giving to the Lord, I know people say, well, I can't afford to give. You can't afford not to give. Some people say, well, God doesn't expect my family to go without. No, God doesn't expect your family to go without. But let me tell you, when you don't give, you're going to go without. There is times that many people in this room could give testimony of when they gave as they should of the first fruits, before anything else, they gave of that to the Lord. That they didn't know how other things were going to be taken care of, but God took care of it. Why? Because not that we give to get, but that God opens the windows and takes care of things. Because God wants faithfulness. He wants you to be a wise steward. And we need to be faithful in our giving unto God. And when we're robbing God, you and I can't be right with God. When you're robbing God, we cannot be right with God. Look at verse 13. Your words have been stalked against me, saith the Lord. Ye have said, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said it, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we kept his ordinances? Stop there for a minute. What was God accusing them of? Saying stuff against them. And they said, and the Lord says, you've had strong words against me. Oh, Lord, where have we had strong words? Lord, we haven't said anything against you. Lord, we haven't gone against your name. We haven't gone against who you are. We haven't gone against the name of the Lord. Lord, where have we gone against? And God says, you want to know? Here they are again saying, oh, there's nothing wrong with us, Lord. We're good. But what does the Lord say? You have spoken vain things. Look at verse 14, ye have said it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it to keep the ordinances? You said it is vain. It is empty. That word vain means empty. It is empty to serve God. This is what the nation of Israel, this is what these individuals said. They said it is vain. It is empty to serve God. You say, well, they probably didn't say that. Well, my God's not a liar. And what does he say to them? You have said this. You said it's empty. I believe many people in our day and age, and believers I'm talking to in churches today, say it's empty to serve God. You say, well, preacher, none of us would ever say it's vain or empty to serve God. Yes, we do. Because if we truly didn't think it was empty or for naught, then every believer among the face of this earth will serve God day in and day out. They will love the Lord thy God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might. They would serve with such a passion, with such a zeal, with such an excitement for the things of God. They would be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because they realize all their labor is not in vain. But we as believers believe our labor is in vain or empty because we don't see the importance of serving God with honesty and with integrity. We do half-hearted service today. We put in just a part. We do just a little bit. And he says, the problem is with you is that you say it's not worth it. Well, believer, it is so worth serving God. The best place you and I could be, we've said this many, many times. We've heard it many, many times. The best place we could be is in the center of God's will for our lives. It is so worth serving God. Do you know what's not worth? It's not worth living for yourself. That's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. Do you know it's not worth it? Trying to bring your own pleasures? That's wood, hay, and stubble. What's not worth it is trying to build up your lascivious homes. That's not worth it. You know what's worth it? It's serving God with all that you have. That's what's worth it. Because the whole purpose we have on the face of this earth is to serve God. And that is the best thing you and I can do in our lives, is serve with honesty and realize that we need to understand the importance of serving God. Doesn't matter your age. We're to serve God. It doesn't matter what our baggage is, we need to be serving God. It doesn't matter how long we've been saved, we need to serve God. The importance this morning that we need to see, there's an importance in service with honesty, and realize, he said, you say it's not important to serve me. Then it goes a step further. What profit is it that we have kept the ordinances? Is it really important to keep your ordinances, to keep your teaching, Lord? That's what they're saying. You ever have your child question you? Mom, dad, why do we have to listen to you? Mom and dad, why do we have to obey you? And sometimes they don't come out verbally say that, but they think that in their heads, right, Nathaniel? Why is it important? Why did I have to obey my parents? Is it really that important? Is it really that important to listen to them? This is what they were saying to the Lord. And the Lord called them out on it and says, you think it's not important to obey me. See, they robbed God. They didn't serve God with honesty, with integrity. They thought it was vain to serve God. But they also said, it's not important to obey God. What does it really matter? And this is the mindset many believers have today. I'm saved. And I know once saved, always saved. I believe in the security. I believe in all those truths there. I understand the Holy Spirit quickens us, makes us alive. I understand no man can pluck me out of the hand of God. But people believe that and they say, well, once I'm saved, I can go ahead and do whatever I want to do. I can do this. It doesn't really matter. That is against the word of God. Because if I'm truly saved, I want to obey God. I want to follow God. But what they were saying is, what profit is? Why do we have to keep the ordinances? I have my salvation. I can just go ahead and do. No. Because if I'm truly saved, I have a new desire. That new desire is to follow God, is to live for Him. And I realize when I disobey His ordinances and I don't keep His ordinances, that I'm not right with God. You see, I know many look at this as a bunch of rules, the Word of God. But if we look at it as a bunch of rules, then we look at it and it becomes grievous to us. I look at this as a book of love, not rules. It's not rules and regulations in this book. It's a book of love. Just as a parent will tell their child, do not do this, do not do that, because this is going to happen to you. As a parent, you say, learn from my mistakes. Know how long I've been married, right, Brian? Learn from my mistakes. Learn from those things. And this is what needs to be true. The Word of God is given to us as a logbook, and is given to us not because He wants to give you a bunch of rules and regulations. It's because He loves you and loves me, and He wants to keep us from being in disobedience and keep us from misery, and that we'll be able to walk with Him and have that joy and have that fellowship with Him. But they said, we don't want to obey. We don't want to keep. We don't want to do. The call was given. The accusation was given. But look at verse 9. What's the results? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. God had cursed the nation because of the failure to be surrendered to Him and to serve or to give with integrity. What happened when Adam and Eve sinned against God? There was a curse given. What happens when you and I are not living right, not giving right, not serving right, not surrendered the way we should be? We are withheld the blessing of God upon our lives. Do you know when you don't give, you don't serve with honesty and integrity, you know who you're hurting? Yourself. Do you know when you're not obeying the Word of God, you know who you're hurting? Yourself. Because my God in heaven, as I said in the love book, my God in heaven, what does He want to do for His children? Just like any parent, what does this parent want to do for the children? Want to be able to give to his children as much as he can give. And do as much as they can do. You know what God wants to do for His children? He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have what you need in your life. He wants you to have His blessing upon His life. We're the ones, because we rob God, we rob ourselves. It's because of us that the blessings of God is withheld from us. God wants you to be a joyful believer. But because of your sin and my sin, and because we don't serve God with integrity, because we rob God, we are the ones that take the joy from our lives. And we don't get the blessings of God upon us. That's why you can find individuals that do not have much in this world, but they serve God the way they ought to serve God, and they give to God, and they serve God the way they should. And they have things, and they have joy. They have the blessing of God upon them. And you sit back, and I sit back and go, how is that possible? They don't have what I have in the bank account. They don't have what I have for a house. They don't have what I have for a car. They don't have what I have for food every day. They don't have this. But look at them. Wow, look at them. Why? Because they have the blessings of God upon them. That's why you can find the people that so-called have the most materialism in this world, and they're the most sour individuals you've ever met in the face of this earth. Why? Because they have everything that this world gives, but they don't have the blessing of God upon them, because they think they got to store up their treasures on this earth. But we're not to build up treasures on this earth. We're to build up treasures in heaven, and I'm to serve God and give God all that I have to Him. The result was they were cursed. They withheld the blessing of God. You know what's happened in many churches? Because many individuals have not given. The church are the individuals that make up the church. It's not a building. It's the individuals that make up the church. And when individuals do not give or serve or live right, they think they rob God. They didn't serve right, and they didn't live right. And when we don't do that, we withhold the blessing of God upon this church. not just financially, but seeing souls saved through the church. Seeing lives changed. Seeing growth. Seeing things turn around. Because when we aren't doing right, the windows of heaven are not wide open and poured upon this church. You as an individual, me as an individual, when I have unconfessed sin in my life, and let me say, if we are not giving right, serving right, living right, that's sin, and that needs to be dealt with. And if we have that sin in our lives, that will rob us and withhold the blessing of God upon our lives. It is not how much you give. It is not how much you serve. You remember, there is one that gave one mite, and that was far more important than others that gave so much more. It has to do with the heart. Look at verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. For I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be enough room to receive it. I just want to point that out. Did you get the last part? You just live right and do right. You're going to need another room. There's not enough room to receive all the blessing God can give. Again, we don't give to get it. But let me tell you, if this church would just get alive and return back to the Lord, and we as individuals would just follow God and serve God and give to God and live for God as we should, the blessings of God would fill this room and a lot more. We wouldn't have enough room to receive it. Why? Because God's the one that gives the blessing. Look at verse 17 and verse 18, and we'll bring this to a close. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. You know what's going to happen? There's a day coming. There's a day coming when we're going to know who served God and who didn't serve God. There's going to be those that are here, well done, thy good and faithful servant, and others that don't hear it. There's going to be a day coming when the righteous and the wicked are going to be separated. There's a day coming those that serve God with integrity and with purpose, and those that just try to act the part and didn't do it honestly. There's going to be those that didn't rob from God, and there's going to be those that robbed from God. There's going to be a separation, if you will, and one day it's going to be known. But let me say this. There's a day coming. That's what this is talking about. We understand, we go to the verses before, and it talks about the remnant. There's a remnant that's given, and we understand the remnant. We don't have time to get all of that this morning. But then it comes to this and gives this idea of what is being taken, and it's going to be shown, and we're going to know. But do you know something this morning? God already knows if I rob him or don't rob him. God already knows if I'm serving him or I think it's empty or vain to serve him. God already knows if I'm obeying his ordinances, living for him or not. God knows. God sees it. God sees your heart. God sees my heart. God sees our motives. He sees our reasons. He sees our heart. He sees what's in us. God sees it. God already knows. We understand his eyes are above. They go to and fro. He knows. He sees. I can fool individuals. Kids can fool their parents. You can fool your spouses. You can fool your pastors. You can fool other church members. You can fool one individuals. But you and I cannot fool God. We can say we haven't done anything. How many ever had your kids say that? I haven't done anything. I didn't do anything wrong. Yeah. We say that to God, and God says, yes, you have. That's what he said to them. Yes, you have. We haven't. Yes, you have. Believer, today, let's be honest. Let's look within. Oh, preacher, this is a message for me. I'm good. Well, they thought they were good too. And God said, that's what you need. I'm not saying everyone in this room was wicked. I'm not saying we all are robbing God. I'm not saying all of us aren't having integrity and honesty. I'm not saying all of us think serving God is vain or empty. I'm not saying most of us desire to disobey God and don't want to listen to the ordinance of God. But I do want us to examine, because I believe sometimes that we even get to a place that we have slipped away from God without even realizing we have slipped away from God. I don't believe it's anyone's intention in this room or watching on live stream to intentionally not live for God. I don't think that's the intention of everyone here. But I do believe there's times that we've slipped away from God and we don't even realize we've slipped away from God. I believe there's times that we've had good intentions to give to God what is God's, and because of one reason or another, we haven't, and then we never got back on track again. And we've robbed God. I believe there's good intentions to serve God, but because of our attitude and because of our motives, and we don't even realize it, we're serving God empty. We think it's vain to serve God. We're just doing it because that's what we have to do. And we're far from God. I don't think it's anyone's intentions to be disobedient and not follow after the ordinances and teachings of God. But I believe many individuals don't even realize it. But we are not living a life right in the sight of God. We're living a life right in the sight of ourselves. And we have moved from obeying God. And I believe the call that is given to this nation is a call that's given to each believer today of returning. No matter where you're at, no matter where I'm at, let's return back to the Lord. Let's return back closer to Him than we were yesterday or today. Let's be closer to God than we've ever been. Let's return back to Him. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, I pray that you just take your word and use it for your honor and your glory. Speak to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed, as you stand with me, no one looking about. As the music's playing,